unless you're living in a theocracy with God's law as the standard, mm-hmm. then every government that has ever existed outside that context has reflected sin.
From Walking in Grace, this is the Straight Truth Podcast, Christian truths in an increasingly secular world.
Our question for this episode has to do with social justice. Maybe a relatively new term, maybe an old term. Obviously, that adjective social for justice is what confuses things here. And our question more so has to do with, should the church be an advocate for social justice? Certainly, it might seem that the church should be, based on biblical passages that you see, especially in the Old Testament, over and over where God mentions his justice. So let me read for you Isaiah 1:17. Learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. So even in that text, there is a sense in which every believer, Old Testament context here, but every believer should be an advocate for the kind of justice that God is commanding us to do. Micah 6:8 is often quoted. We're commanded to seek justice, love mercy, walk humbly with our God. Mm-hmm. And people often take these passages and they tie them to justice causes in the world today, or even like a movement like Martin Luther King Jr. in the 1960s, mm-hmm. and even current movements today in the 21st century. What do you think? Should the church be an advocate for social justice? Whether that's a biblical sort of justice like we've just quoted here, or maybe something that's going on in the culture?
Yeah, as you know, Josh, I mean that terminology is supercharged mm-hmm. at the moment. And a lot of what's being done today in the name of social justice isn't social justice. It's mislabeled because it doesn't represent the justice of God. Mm. So if we ask, first of all, let's just kind of make it a little simpler. And let me just say in general, one of the things that I think we need to do, instead of taking the world's categories and then trying to figure out how we relate to those categories, for me, what I've always tried to do is say, what are the biblical categories?
Yeah.
I mean, how am I supposed to be thinking as a believer, and then let me be faithful to that? So instead of thinking in terms of what our world is currently doing in the name of social justice, I would just ask, what has the church been about according to the New Testament? What are we to be about, I should say, according to the New Testament? Our first priority is the soul. Our first priority is men and women, are they right with God? Mm-hmm. But we don't neglect the body. We don't neglect people's physical needs. The New Testament teaches that we're to do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. So I think what we do is we demonstrate God's kind of social concern by the way we deal with each other in the Lord's church. And that way, that's the first way, the foremost way that we demonstrate to the world what God's love really looks like. How do we deal with each other, even with respect to our own families? The Bible teaches that if a Christian person doesn't take care of his own family, aged parents, brothers and sisters who may be in need, you deny the faith. You're, mm-hmm. you're worse than an infidel.
Yeah.
So how we deal with our families, how we deal with the church body, this is to be a demonstrate. We're to be experiencing and living out and demonstrating what the love of God is all about. So do I care whether someone is mistreated or not? Yes. Should we care that the justice system, the court system, would reflect true and right kinds of judgments? Yes, we should be concerned about that. Should it bother us when we see the expressions of sin around us in the culture, whether it be, you know, racism or other kinds of abuse that take place in the culture? Should that trouble Christian people? Of course it should trouble Christian mm-hmm. people. And to the degree that we're able to speak God's word to those situations, we should do it. There's nothing wrong with that. But the problem we're having right now is a lot of what's going on in the name of social justice isn't justice. I said that a moment ago, but let me explain why I say that. Exodus 23 is a great passage that it's fascinating to me how it addresses what's going on in our culture. It says this: you shall not spread a false report. You shall not join hands with a wicked man to be a malicious witness. You shall not fall in with the many to do evil, nor shall you bear witness in a lawsuit, siding with the many so as to pervert justice. nor shall you be partial to a poor man in his lawsuit. If you meet with your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall bring it back to him. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying down under its burden, you shall refrain from leaving him with it. You shall rescue it with him. You shall not pervert the justice due to your poor in his lawsuit. Keep far from a false charge, and do not kill the innocent and righteous, for I will not acquit the wicked. And you shall take no bribe, for a bribe blinds the clear-sighted and subverts the cause of those who are in the right. You shall not oppress a sojourner. You know the heart of a sojourner, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. Several things stand out to me in that passage. One, true justice is never built on falsehoods. Mm-hmm. More than once, the Israelites were warned not to be a part of false reports, not to be a part of mischaracterizations in their justice system. So true justice is never built on straw men. It's not built on on taking truth and then twisting it and making it something that it's not. And a lot of what I see today in the name of justice is really a rewriting of history, or a mischaracterization of history, or a dishonesty with the fact that at any point in history, men and women are going to have wrong thinking and wrong living, and you can't demolish everything that belonged to a particular age because there was wrong in that age. There's been wrong in every age. Whatever you're trying to build today, someone else is going to come along down the road and tear this down because there was wrong thinking in this age.
Yeah, that's true.
So you don't build justice on falsehoods. Something else you see is you don't build justice, or you don't arrive at justice, when you show favoritism, when you have respect of persons. Mm-hmm. Very interesting to me in this passage that he says, you shall not be partial to a poor man in his lawsuit. Mm-hmm. Just because a man is poor doesn't mean that you give him advantages. He goes on to say later, you don't neglect, you don't mistreat the poor person in his lawsuit either. You shall not pervert the justice due to your poor in his lawsuit. Mm-hmm. So whether a man is rich or poor, the issue is not whether he's rich or poor. The issue is what's right. What's right? And right now what's being done in the name of justice is to tip the scales. It is to put our hand on the scale, so to speak, and to favor certain people based upon their life's circumstances, whether it be socioeconomic or whether it be the color of their skin or whatever the case may be. The idea is the way you arrive at justice is to favor those who have historically been mistreated. Well, that's not justice. That's just retribution. That's just a form of vengeance. Mm-hmm. That's something else interesting to me in this passage. You're specifically warned against vengeance, because in verse 4 it says, if you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall bring it back to him. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying down under its burden, you shall refrain from leaving him with it. You shall rescue it with him. Help this guy. Mm-hmm. This guy hates you. He's mistreated you. There he is with a need. What do? You help him with his need. Mm-hmm. So if you're trying to arrive at justice, what you don't operate in is hatefulness. What you don't operate in is unforgiveness. What you don't operate in is a sense of personal vengeance. That's not how the people of God respond. And a lot of what's going on today in the name of justice is just that. It's reverse hate. It's this group has been mistreated, treated hatefully, or whatever the case may be. Now, the way to rectify that is to make those people pay on a personal level, on a relational level. That's not justice. So what you're aiming at is vertical, not horizontal. Something else to say about the church's role in all of this. Remember, the verses you read are found in the Old Testament, Old Covenant, and you have a theocracy. Mm. You have a nation governed by God's law. And so you have a brotherhood that exists in that nation on supposed to be on spiritual terms. As we know, many of those people were not truly converted. But that's how the law could be rightly lived out, in the context of a relationship with God. And now fellow Israelites treating each other not just as with a national relationship in mind, but a spiritual relationship in mind. Not just a racial or ethnic relationship in mind, fellow Israelites, but a spiritual relationship. God is Yahweh is our God, and His law is our standard. That's not the United States of America. This is not a theocracy. Mm-hmm. So, and the church doesn't rule the nation. So that's why where we begin is in our own four walls, so to speak, in our own community. Are we demonstrating God's love in the church in the way that we treat each other? And then we do good to all as mm-hmm. we're given opportunity. Mm-hmm. But it begins in our own set of relationships, our homes, okay. the church. This is where it's lived out. But not by the standards of lost men, by the standards of God's word. I'm looking for what's right. I'm looking for what pleases him. I'm not showing respect of persons. I'm not showing favoritism. I'm not trying to tip the scales in the favor of one group or another. And I'm not operating in the realm of personal vengeance or hatred or retribution. We want to treat all people in the way that would please God.
And so a couple follow-up questions. Number one, just to clarify, you are reading from the law.
Yes.
And so you're saying that there are principles to draw from this and how we should think about
justice. Thank you for that. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. And I'm saying even in that day where these people were living under that law in a national sense,
yeah.
this was the standard even then. And so if we want to understand justice from God's point of view, let's see how justice was to be applied in that nation under mm-hmm. his rule.
Mm-hmm.
And even there, when you have a theocracy, it's even-handed. It's about what's true and right in this situation. Mm-hmm. It's not based on socioeconomic situations. It's just based on what's right.
Mm-hmm.
And that should be guiding our minds as believers and our lives as the church.
And I think another question that comes here along with this is, you know, what's the difference between an individual advocating for these principles versus what should the church do? So you're pastor of a church.
Yeah.
How would you ever lead the church to advocate for justice that involves some sort of social involvement in a movement or whatever? Or are you maybe on the other hand, just exhorting your church members to live out a biblical justice just in their own spheres? I mean, how would you?
Yes, the latter. It's what you just said.
Okay.
So when we look at the New Testament, I ask, where do you see the churches leading in social reform
mm-hmm.
in the New Testament? I mean, they're in a wicked world just like we are in the New Testament era, living under Roman rule. That particular era,
mm-hmm.
lots of injustice going on, lots of sin taking place
mm-hmm.
in every realm of life. What were the churches doing? Were they trying to lead some sort of movement for social reform? The answer is, I don't see that. I see them preaching the gospel, evangelizing lost people, discipling people, living out the love of God in their fellowship. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. Living out the love of God in their fellowship and then being exhorted to live as good citizens because they know Jesus Christ. And that involves being submissive to governing authorities to the degree that we can and still be submissive to God, but living our lives in a way that we make plain that we're looking for a better city, a better country. Our citizenship is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not living for the moment. We're living for eternity. We're living in light of eternity in the moment. And so we want to display the love of God and the truth of God in every walk of life. When opportunity was given and responsibility existed to speak God's truth to people who were in positions of leadership in culture, you see God's people doing that.
Mm-hmm.
When Paul stands before Roman governors mm-hmm. on trial for the preaching of the gospel, he preaches the gospel in those settings.
Mm-hmm.
He declares Christ in those settings. When John the Baptist was arrested and eventually lost his life, what was it for? He spoke the truth concerning God's law regarding marriage to a man who should have paid attention to that because he was a ruler in Galilee, and that's mm-hmm. Herod Antipas.
Mm-hmm.
But he speaks the truth. It's not lawful for you to have your brother Philip's wife. That's an incestuous marriage. It violates the law of God. So when we have opportunity to weigh in, so to speak, with what's true according to Scripture, we do that, but we do it in appropriate ways.
Mm.
The church's sphere of responsibility is not, in my view, Josh,
mm-hmm.
to rule over the culture in terms of some sort of political presence. Our task is to preach the gospel, and we live in light of another country,
mm.
and our king is Jesus.
Mm.
So, for example, let me just give one example. Our views on abortion. We believe abortion to be sinful. We believe it to be murderous. literally people are being murdered in the womb through mm-hmm. abortion. But we've never led the church here at Founders to go march or something mm-hmm. or do some sort of sit-in mm-hmm. on an abortion clinic or something like that. No, as Christian citizens, we influence as much as we can. We support a pregnancy assistance center where the gospel is preached and young women are helped with respect to pregnancy and counseled and all of that. So we do what we can do. And by the way, we support them as a church. We give them some money. But our people go and serve in that place. And that's really what we're exhorting in the life of our congregation. Live as Christian citizens in every realm of life, every walk of life, and shine in mm-hmm. that way.
And I'm anticipating just one objection. Well, there are probably many, but sure. Let me think of just one.
Yeah, there'll be many.
Yeah. So a vast majority of people will say, yes, don't show partiality. Advocate for justice, whether it's the poor person or the rich person. I think what a lot of people today would object to is say the system is naturally bent toward advocating for the rich person over the poor person. Mm. That's what they would maybe respond. The system itself is corrupt and it's more bent toward advocating for the rich. Or maybe in this case, white males or something along those lines. How would you respond to that in terms of, you know, biblical justice in that way?
Yeah, I would ask. So I have a couple of thoughts. Mm-hmm. Unless you're living in a theocracy with God's law as the standard, mm-hmm. then every government that has ever existed outside that context has reflected sin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, government at its best, Romans 13, at its best, exists to punish evil and promote what is good, but there's no human government that has ever done that to the degree that it measures up to the law of God. There's mm-hmm. not one. So the New Testament believers were living also in a place where you could say sin was systemic, mm-hmm. because it is. It's mm-hmm. it's in every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
So the system reflected man's sinfulness. People sitting in judgment of others, people making decisions, the way the economy ran would have reflected man's selfishness, his willingness to take advantage of others. I think about the tax system under Roman rule.
Mm, true.
I mean, when Zacchaeus comes to faith in Christ, there are things he has to make right.
Yep.
When Matthew comes to faith in Christ, he abandons his tax table to follow Jesus. So there were injustices there.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at the New Testament, I ask, was this given to the church's responsibility? Change the system.
Mm.
You don't find anything like that.
Yeah.
You don't find anything like that. So until Jesus comes, this world is going to reflect systemic sinfulness.
Yes.
So that how has change affected? One heart at a time.
Okay.
One life at a time. As people are converted, as they come to faith in Jesus, they can't live like that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how societies become better. But there is no society that's going to be what God means for it to be until Jesus comes and ushers in his kingdom. And it's going to be a kingdom of righteousness. And the only people who will populate it will be people who are right with God, who have been forgiven of their sins and reconciled to their creator. That kingdom will begin with no one but believers. And then that world will reflect righteousness. Until then, we're going to live in a world that reflects sin. And so what we are lights shining in the midst of darkness. That's our role. And to think we're going to transform the world any other way than the preaching of the gospel is an illusion. It will not happen.
Thanks again for joining us for this episode of the Straight Truth Podcast. Now, Straight Truth is listener supported. So if you'd like to find out ways how you can help us to continue to produce this podcast, you can go to our website and find out ways to do that, straighttruth.net. At that website, you'll also find links to all of our previous episodes and our social media channels, so be sure to check it out. Straight Truth is a production of Walking in Grace Ministries, the preaching and teaching ministry of Pastor Richard Caldwell. For more information, go to walkingingrace.org.